Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 60 for October 1st, 2006. Coming up in a few minutes.
Whiskey is, I know it's probably just right for the Swedish mentality or something.
That's also one way to overcome the whole cold winters. If the house is not hot enough, you can always heat yourself inside, put up the heat inside by swirling it around.
That's Park Haldenby and Ulf Buxrud, Swedish whiskey experts and writers, and we'll be looking at the love of whiskey in Sweden. This is the first weekend of the Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival. It's so big that the festival runs for two weekends, and they're pouring more than 500 different whiskeys. More on that in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the news. William Grant & Sons has bought out its partner in First Drink Brands, which handles distribution for the company's whiskey portfolio in the UK. Grant had partnered with Bacardi Martini & Company, which handled the distribution for the Glenfiddich and the Balvenie in the UK, as well as Bacardi's brands and other spirits. It's part of a move by Grant to control its distribution channels worldwide. Earlier this year, the company opened an Asian subsidiary to handle its Pacific Rim distribution. Bacardi has taken over control of its own brands as part of the buyout. Duncan Taylor & Company is auctioning off a series of rare single malts for charity. The independent bottler has been keeping the first and last bottle of its casks for the last 5 years and is now making bottle number one of several casks available to the highest bidder. The list includes a 1967 Highland Park, a 1966 Beaumont, a 1968 Macallan, a Glencraig from 1974, an Invergordon grain whiskey from 1965, and the youngest of the bunch, a Glengarry from 1988. You'll find a link to the details at whiskeycast.com. The Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's U.S. chapter kicks off its fall series of single malt dinners this week in Chicago, along with stops later on in Boston, Washington, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and South Florida. Alan Shane heads up the U.S. chapter.
It's a gala evening where we're going to taste over 60 different distillery expressions from Scotland's most prestigious single malt distilleries. During the course of the evening, we have a delicious full buffet dinner that's served. And then at evening's end, after the event, as the event ends, we pass out a selection of three premium imported cigars from the Humidors of Monte Cristo. And that's for those attendees who enjoy that sort of thing to enjoy outside of the tasting, because most markets it's not legal anymore to have indoor smoking, and secondly, we kind of frown on it because it affects the ability of people who are tasting to nose the whiskeys properly. But we, many of our members do enjoy it, so we provide that for them for after the event.
And who's this aimed at? Is this aimed at just for your current members, or is this a recruiting drive? How does it work?
Well, it's essentially a combination. It's there for our current members and their guests. And the goal is to increase knowledge of single malt Scotch whiskies and get people who are interested, give them the ability to come and taste all the different styles of whiskies there. Hopefully, we recruit some members at it. We usually do. But there's no pressure put on anybody. The goal is to really get them acquainted with single malts more than with the society itself.
Tickets are $95 for members and $105 for non-members. There's a link to the Society's website at whiskeycast.com. That's where you'll also find a link to Malt Advocate magazine's website. The fall issue of Malt Advocate is in the mail now, and editor John Hansel gives us a preview.
One of the whiskeys that we're featuring this fall in the upcoming issue is George Dickel, because, it always seems to be the bridesmaid of the Tennessee whiskeys when, in the shadow of Jack Daniels. But the bottom line is that Dickel makes some great whiskeys. And so we're bringing out Dickel and letting people know about what Dickel's up to. And, they were shut down for a few years, several years ago, and about 4 years they were shut down. And Diageo sort of excited to make it a priority and get it up and running and start making some great whiskey. I think we'll be seeing more of Dickel in the future, so kind of doing a story on that.
What else
is in
the
cover
issue?
Story. We've got a couple other cool things, too. One of them is we have Gavin Smith, who's looked at the past years of the Scotch, past 100 years of the Scotch whiskey industry, and he's looking at going over the changes that have occurred over the past 100 years, and there actually have been some significant ones that some of them have been, I think, good in the fact that, for example, you take a look at the fact that I think everything's becoming a little bit more organized and, looked at as more from a scientific perspective, which I think has helped with the quality control of the whiskey in general. Of course, there's been a lot of automation, so you've been seeing a reduction in the workforce, so that's the downside for, fewer employees. Changes in the types of barley that have been used for higher yields, doing away with Golden Promise, for the good or bad of that. The different types of how we've, distillations are different, going from direct firing to internal steam heating and, things like that. I think, we try to expose or let people know about, in that article. It's a good piece and kind of nice, a good retrospective of the Scotch whiskey industry.
By the way, there are still a few tickets left for Malt Advocates Whiskey Fest in New York City on November 6th.
It'll be the first year that we're having experience rooms, where basically, with a typical company who's pouring a whiskey at their table, I think they can, if they want just people to try their whiskeys, that's one thing. But if they want to try to convey something more than that, an image or a sense of like what they're trying to do as far as overall capturing a particular type of a feeling. It's harder to do that with a table, but, there's a few companies that are now actually having an entire breakout room on the side, similar to the rooms where we're having our seminars, and they have those rooms for the whole night, and they have the ability to basically take a brand and sell a story, and tell a story, and to get in more into the emotional side, I think, of the whiskey as opposed to just tasting it. And we just had, this past week, we've been told that Highland Park is going to be having one of those experience rooms. We also have Glenmorangie with an experience room and Dewars. That's the one thing. The other thing is that, again, we're just really expanding our, we have our charity table. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Small donation to charity. You can try some really rare whiskeys. And again, we have some amazing things, including some really old bottlings of King Clay, which is really hard to find. And, we've got, again, some really old Dalmores, a 50-year-old Dalmore, things like that. That'll be great.
I'll be celebrating the first anniversary of Whiskey Cast that night, and if you're in the area, I hope to see you there. I'll also be taking Whiskey Cast on the road to Toronto this month for Whiskey Live Toronto on the 14th. And there's some good news about the future of the Spirit of Toronto Whiskey Festival. It had been scheduled for the 21st of this month, but was canceled, in some part because of competition from the Whiskey Live event. Word from Toronto is that the festival will take place in the spring, but no date has been set. I'll keep you posted. Other events on the calendar for October. Macallan brand ambassador Casper McRae will host a single malt dinner at the Palm Restaurant in Miami on the 11th. The Wild Whiskey Weekend 2006 takes place October 20th through the 22nd in Nykøbing Falster, Denmark. The Milano Whiskey Festival is the same weekend in Milano, Italy. And the Whiskey Weekend Bremen 2006 is October 28th and 29th at the Golden Tulip Hotel in Bremen, Germany. Of course, there's a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website. It's www.whiskeycast.com. As I mentioned earlier, this is the first weekend of the Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival in Sweden. Sweden only produces one single malt of its own. That's McMyra, which we featured back in episode 30 at the end of March. But Swedes consume more whiskey per capita than almost any other country. And it seems like they write books about whiskey almost as much. In fact, the 2007 edition of the Malt Whiskey Yearbook is being released this week. Editor Ingvar Runda says it's a complete upgrade from the 2006 edition.
Basically, we've, just like in last year's yearbook, we divided it into three parts. The first part is articles by some really great writers. This year we have Charlotte McLean, we have Dominic Rossgrove, Gavin Smith, Ian Buxton, Ian Wisniewski, and David Sturck. And they're covering quite a wide range of topics. There's a whiskey version of 10 Days That Shook the World. And then we got features on emerging markets, new strategies in marketing of whiskey. And we're also proud of having Hideo Yamaoka and Taylor Smithson for the second year, writing about Japanese malt whiskey. And then the second part of the book, that's a 160-page distillery directory with the Scottish, Irish, and Japanese distilleries. And, of course, we've done a lot of updates there. We have around 600 color photos, and I think about 70% of them are new. Actually, we spent 10 days in Speyside this spring, visiting some 50 distilleries, taking new photos. And then, of course, at the end of the book, there's the listings of new bottlings, whiskey shops, websites, new books, statistics, tables and graphs and maps, you know.
The first edition sold very well throughout Europe, but couldn't find a distributor in North America, and Ingvar's hoping for a bit of luck now.
I noted that the last time you had Misako Udo on your webcast, she managed to find a distributor in Scotland. So maybe I get lucky this time.
I asked Ingvar just why whiskey is so popular in Sweden.
Maybe it has something to do with the Scandinavians feeling very much in line with the people in England and Scotland. I don't know. We like the same TV programs, the same humor. Maybe it has something to do with liking the same drink. I don't know. There really is a huge interest in not only in Sweden, but in Scandinavia as a whole. And I don't know. I mean, we have, for example, now we have not only Malt Whiskey Yearbook, we have two other excellent books by, for example, Per Kaldenby. He did this Enjoying Malt Whiskey, a great book, and Ulf Buxwood, he's writing his Rare Malts, it's being published now any day.
At this point, I could make a cheesy comment about just happening to talk with Ulf Buxrud about his new book, but that would be too obvious. Without giving everything away that's in it, what all do you talk about?
What I talk about? Okay, I'm talking about, as a matter of fact, there are 36 distilleries in the Rare Malt series. I am visualizing each of them by a portrait that takes care of the history, the equipment, and other facts that could be of interest. I'm also talking about the things to visit in the surroundings if you travel with somebody not interested in whiskey. I'm also selecting one example from each distillery with a tasting note. I am discussing the rise and fall of the Rare Malt series. I am also covering some technical details which are not normally covered in whiskey books. But I'm not dealing with how to make whiskey from the barley to the finished powder. Things like that are covered in other books.
Ulf's uniquely qualified to write this book. He's a keeper of the Quaich, as well as a member of an even more exclusive group, the Malt Maniacs.
It is not a book for beginners. It's more a book for the one who's already became an enthusiast. But it's also a beautiful book, and there's a lot of pictures. So it's a type of a coffee table book, which you can fold up and browse through and read a piece here and a piece there, because there's a lot of historical details. So even if you're not precisely interested in whiskey, there's a lot of historical data. If you're a Scotsman or have that kind of interest in your life, there's a lot of information in it.
Perfect book to sit with a dram by the fire, right?
Absolutely.
Ulf says it's not really a surprise that Sweden and whiskey go so well together.
This country has always been interested in alcohol because it's been so hard controlled by the government, and it's always been funny to look at the grass on the other side of the fence. So we have always had a natural curiosity when it comes to alcohol. And if we can formalize that interest in groups, in society, things like that, and orderly forms can not only investigate the fluid, but also its historical roots and its social situation in society, then it's fine. We do things like that in Sweden quite often, joints in group. We have, as a matter of fact, the highest density of wine tasting group in the world. We're a country of 9 million people. We have 30,000 people organized in wine tasting clubs that meet at least once a month. If we look at the whiskey club, who does the same thing, we have more than 200 whiskey clubs in this country, whereof at least 100 are listing their findings on the internet.
The Swedish government has a monopoly on alcohol sales. Now, that might rankle those who believe in free markets, but when I talked with Ingvar Runde, he says the system actually works pretty well. Is part of it based on just the state monopoly over there for liquor sales? Because I noticed that you guys seem to get better pricing than most of the rest of us on some of the malt whiskeys, just because the state limits its markup.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because there is a lot of debate in Sweden about the state monopoly. And although there are several people who want to see it abolished, I think we really benefit from having it, because we, as you say, we get low prices on quite a lot of bottlings, and the assortment is really good here.
Ingvar mentioned Par Caldenby earlier. I talked with Par about his book, The Enthusiast's Guide to Enjoying Malt Whiskey, in episode 48 back in July, and he says the Swedish system makes it easy to get really good whiskeys, even in the most remote parts of Sweden.
Throughout the country, you will have at least a chance, not that every shop will have the same stock, but you will have the chance to order anything which is on central stock, which means that even if you're in a small village with only a couple of thousand inhabitants and you have a shop, you can still get an exclusive, 32-year-old Springbank or something through that shop, which means that it's quite accessible nowadays to get to these sort of more exclusive spirits.
Again, Par Caldenby is the author of The Enthusiast's Guide to Enjoying Malt Whiskey. Ulf Buxrud's new book, Rare Malts, will be released at the end of the month, and the 2007 Malt Whiskey Yearbook is available now. There are links to the publishers at whiskeycast.com. Next time around, we'll go just about as far away from Sweden as one can get.
I used to drink a little bit of whiskey as we knocked off, the end of the day, or at 4 o'clock in the morning when we're cleaning up the pub, we'd always have a little shot of whiskey to help us get through that little bit. And Phil was quite to thinking that it'd be a good idea if, why can't we produce our own whiskey here in Australia?
That's Patrick McGuire, the master distiller at Australia's Tasmanian Distillery. I'll talk with Patrick about his single malts on the next episode of Whiskey Cast. Of course, my email address for questions and feedback is comments@whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.